Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. Mine was pretty crappy when it comes to sports. I'll get into that here in just a few seconds. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget, every day, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m., myself, Charlie Alamo, and Ciroc from the Weekly Review do an hour show at 11 a.m. on my YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or upload any new content. There's tons of great new content available for you guys to view or listen to. Don't forget, this podcast is available on YouTube. A lot of people don't get podcasting and stuff or are not interested in it, but a lot of people do watch YouTube, and I upload all the shows. Well, I don't. My producer, Vulture, does. So check it out. Man, Saturday night, I know a lot of you guys know that one of the things that me and my dad had a common bond with was the Florida Gators. Never, ever missed the game. It was our thing. We've been working over in Tampa during college football season. I would drive across the state just to watch the Gators play. But, man, I have never seen the Gators. I mean, they did get a lot of yards, and the audio I'm about to play for you, people are absolutely killing Dan Mullen over it. The Gators ended up losing 20-13. But they outgained them in yards and everything, but I think there was like 16, 17 penalties, and they just looked so undisciplined, and that's on the coaches. The coaches should have had them better prepared. What about Mullen wasting all that time at the end of the first or second quarter when they could have tried to get down there and score, and they just shot themselves in the foot, and Dan Mullen had this to say at his post-game press conference.
Last one for me. This is the first game really we've seen under you where the offense has just sputtered. Do you feel like you were almost out-coached tonight?
No. But, you know, 382 yards, I guess that's sputtering. Is that it? I don't know. 380. We had 382, they had 211 yards. So
I don't know how long Dan Mullen has been coaching, but that's not how college football works. That's not how, like, football in general works. It's whoever has the most points out of the two teams. And guess what? The Kentucky Wildcats had it. 20-13. 16 penalties. I don't know why. Look, I'm not saying Emory Jones is horrible, but why? What is up with this loyalty to Jones? Everybody knows that Anthony Richardson is way better. It just makes Dan, it is such a bad look. I mean, you got to own that one. You got to own not having your players prepared. And look, I don't want you guys to think I'm a Gator hater. I'm not. I love the Gators. I love watching their games because it gives me fond memories of my dad.
I wouldn't think that would be the case. I think guys did some pretty good things right there. Moving up and down. I think we got to really look at the penalties that we have and how to get ourselves in a better situation that way. You know, I got to do a better job coaching up the PAT field goal group. They're a physical group. We outrushed them. We outpassed them. We out-total gained them.
Guess what you didn't have? You didn't have more points than them at the end of the fourth quarter. That is the only stat that matters. The W. I don't care. You could have outgained them by double, and if the other team still wins, you didn't do your job.
We had the time of possession. We were better on third downs. I would say that's a decent part to it. But I mean, you can go a lot more.
I mean, he really sounds like a defeated man on and off the field. Like, I mean, just listen to his demeanor. I mean, come on, man. Do you think everybody has talked about him not being a great recruiter? What's it going to be like when you start losing to Kentucky? Now I think you've won 35 out of 37 games, and it hasn't been until recently. Like, for sure, Dan Mullen, think about this. Dan Mullen is the only Florida Gator coach that has lost to the Kentucky Wildcats in almost four decades. And it's just unacceptable because the players are not going to want to come here when you're losing to a basketball school.
Okay. Special teams, you can't have a block kick. That was 7 points. That's a 10-point swing right there. That's a big deal. So we got to get that fixed. Third down conversions, I think, would have been higher if we got ourselves in some third and long situations. We got to be better right there. Red zone, we got to be more. We got to ball in the red zone. We have got to score touchdowns when we get down there.
I don't want anybody to think that this is like turning into the Jim Rome show. I know a lot of people think sports radio is just boring. For the most part, it is. It's a lot of people that have never played sports in their life, just sitting around saying what they would have or could have done, not knowing what's behind it. But Mullen just sounds like a real bitch because that's on you. You are the leader of that team. You're the coach. You have to own it. You got to take responsibility for losing to a goddamn basketball school. Like I said, you're the only coach in almost four decades that has lost to the Kentucky Wildcats. Now, I wonder who is having a worse weekend. Speaking of the Florida Gators, I don't know if you guys saw the video of Urban Meyer. You know, I think they're 0-4 right now. And a lot of these coaches that try to go from college to the NFL, it really doesn't work out too well. Look at Nick Saban. Nick Saban, he went and coached for the Miami Dolphins for a couple of years. Really wasn't hacking it. Then he goes to Alabama. And he's absolutely killing it. Look at Spurrier. Spurrier thought, oh, man, I'm going to try the fun and gun up in Washington. Big Hogan fart on that one. Yes, I did take that from the Bubble Love Sponge show. But Urban Meyer, you know, the guy that left the Gators, wanted to retire because he said he had heart problems. And then a couple of years later, goes and coaches the Ohio State Buckeyes. He was caught at a bar this weekend with somebody, a woman, obviously not his wife. God, she was like, I don't know, if I had to guess, early to mid-20s, and her ass is just grinding on his crotch. He's acting like he's a quarterback, got his hands in between the chick's legs, and it basically broke Twitter last night. Coach Mullen was trending. Urban Meyer was trending. And you know what else was trending? F. Joe Biden at the NASCAR race, the Xfinity race that was in Alabama yesterday. And it was you know what? It was funny, but what do you expect? It's Alabama. It's a red state. And I'm not shocked at all.
Nick, thank you to all of our partners. Oh my God, it's just such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me, as you can hear the chants from the crowd.
I know this is going to sound really, really sexist, but I'm going to say it anyways. This is why women should not be sports announcers. I can't stand it when a woman is calling a game. I remember this one time, there was an LSU Florida Gator game. And the sideline reporter had to carry about 2 to 3 minutes because I guess the electricity or they lost signal in the booth. So I'm sure that there was some producer in her ear. Hey, you got to fill. You got to do this. And it was an absolute train wreck. But why, as a reporter or an anchor out there interviewing the driver that just won, you draw attention to the crowd saying F Joe Biden? And it almost sounds like NBC basically turned up the mic because it is clear as hell to what they're saying.
Let's go, Brandon. Brandon, you told me you were going to.
All right. I called it. There was a producer in her ear saying, hey, tell them they're chanting, let's go, Brandon, because the name of the driver was Brandon. I forget his last name. I think this was his first career win. But this chick tries to say that they're saying, let's go, Brandon. No, they're yelling, F Joe Biden.
Kind of hang back those first two stages and just watch and learn. What did you learn that helped you there in those closing laps?
Oh, my God. It was...
Am I the only one that thinks that it just keeps getting clearer and louder? Like, they actually sent somebody into the crowd just to be able to hold up a microphone so everybody could hear F Joe Biden, F Joe Biden, and they're also clapping. It just kills me. This is why I don't go to Alabama.
Learning how each line didn't stay to one, and everything shifted top to bottom so much that it was kind of like, okay, let's just stay patient where we're at and hope for the best.
See, that is where we're at in our country. That's how divided we are. Well, they're not divided. I mean, everybody was all into that. That was almost sounded like you were at a Premier League soccer match, because usually in America, you're not able to get the crowd to chant certain things. You know, they're not that coordinated. They're not that together to be able to sing. But man, those people knew who they hated. F Joe Biden. So if you've been listening to the show for the past couple of weeks, I've talked about my newest neighbor, Ramona, who is from Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, she's been here in the United States for quite a while, but she's from Trinidad and Tobago. She lived up in New York and then moved down here. But on the weekend, she has a lot of her Trinidad fans, and I'm allowed to say it because it's not a bad word. But people from Trinidad and Tobago are called Trinnies, like T-R-I-N-N-Y-S, not Trannies, Trinnies. And they're always cooking a lot of spice in their food. Like everything, it just, ooh, man, it's kind of been playing a little bit of hell with my stomach. So two of the guys that had came over that are friends of Ramona's was out there cooking some chicken. They had all types of stuff. They had this stuff called yucca or yuca, forget what it's called, pepper shrimp. A lot of great food. But like I said, everything is spicy as hell. And this is just a little excerpt from one of the videos that I did this weekend with them. Because we went out, I took Ramona and two of her girlfriends out on a little bit of a tour to maybe see some wildlife and stuff. The next day, during the day, took them out into the woods and we found some citrus trees. And they were like, oh my God, we got to get these citrus trees. We could cook with these. And all these women were climbing up the citrus trees trying to get these oranges. And I'm like, be careful. I'll just go up to the produce store and buy you some oranges. It's not that important. They're like, no, we do this all the time. But this is a little excerpt of them cooking chicken. And I talk about and ask them if it burns their buttholes. So, no, they're halves. Yeah, they are halves. So what kind of spices are you guys using on this?
Same one.
Oh, so it's the ketchup, the barbecue sauce. Yeah.
Cilantro and whatnot.
Does it have a citrusy taste to it or no?
No citrus in
it. Yeah, how spicy is it going to be?
Reasonable.
Because I got to tell you, Ramona's been feeding me a little bit, and I got to tell you, my butthole burns a little bit whenever I, go to the bathroom. Yeah, it's like, see? Comedy brings people together. Like, like that could have gone the wrong way. You know, a couple of dudes from Trinidad and Tobago, they're out there cooking chicken. And the one thing that I want to bring up is talking about, you know, burning your butthole from all the spices and stuff that, you know, in general, the Caribbean islands or people that are from the Caribbean love spicy stuff. And that could have gone completely wrong because just like I had just met them maybe about 5 hours ago, and I'm talking about buttholes to these two men. And, like, I haven't been around a lot of people from Trinidad and Tobago, so I don't know, like, if that was going to piss them off or something. Talking about spicy food and burning your butthole, I was taking a big risk there. I hopefully I did not offend them with what I asked.
I could imagine if you eat food from us.
Come. Yeah. You know, I mean, do you guys get used to your buttholes burning?
Well, our buttholes don't burn.
Gotta tell you, I really gotta tell you, I think that the Caribbean people from all the island nations out there must have very resilient buttholes. Because I'm telling you, some of the food, they made some curry for us, and I was able to eat some of it, but I gotta tell you, oh, man, it was like a murder scene in the bathroom the next day. It was a murder scene on my butthole, and I don't know. Like, does your butthole adapt to spices? Is it kind of like cardio? The more of it you do, the more endurance you get. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking with the more spicy food that you eat, the more resilient your butthole becomes.
Oh, so you're used to it then?
I had like burn inside anymore. All right. Because it never burned because this would be growing up with this.
Thought I would just share that with you. If you would like to see the full video, it's about 6 minutes long. You can go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. While you're there, make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button because you're going to be alerted to any time I go live or upload any new content. So, yeah, I was a little torn and I was debating on what order I should play the next two pieces of audio for you guys. Both pieces of audio are related to each other. I didn't know if I should play the story first or play the mother's reaction, but there was a little girl that, you know, ended up turning up missing, and I wasn't for sure, but I think that I decided in the right order, and I'm going to play the interview with the mother first, then I'm going to play the actual news story that tells you what actually happened.
How old is your baby girl? How do you say her name?
She's 2 years old. Her name is Nevaeh. We call her Nunu. That's what she goes by.
And tell me what's happening tonight.
What's happening right now? Right now we're looking for her. The last time that I've heard, because I've been at work all day, was that the kids went down for a nap around 1 o'clock. The big kids got home. They said the door was open and the veil was missing.
I can't even imagine. Look, I'm never, probably, most likely, never gonna have kids. But me being a man, like, I could have kids later on in life. Women do have a biological ticking clock where, you know, they do have a time limit when it comes to having kids. But there are men that are like in their 60s or even 70s that have had kids before. But I can't even imagine. I've always considered myself a little bit of an empath, being able to put myself in other people's shoes. And I can't imagine what it would be like. You know, my dad always said one of the worst things that can ever happen to you as a person is to have to bury your own kid, because like you naturally are supposed to, your children are supposed to outlive you. And you know, like this woman, she sounds sad. She sounds distraught. But man, oh man, when I play the next story for you, you're going to be absolutely shocked.
That's all I really know, Nevaeh. Before I left to go to work, Nevaeh was with him to drop me off. She had on a yellow dress. It had some pink in it. It had pineapples on it. Nevaeh's not known for wandering around. I never once had to correct Nevaeh for even leaving the house without an adult. Nevaeh knows better.
A lot of my supporters, they say some of the best work that I had ever done on the air was covering the Casey Anthony trial. And if you know about the Casey Anthony trial, you know exactly where I'm going with when I decided, when I was talking about in what order I should actually play all this audio that I have that's related with each other.
That's all I know. If you see my baby, just please contact the police. Just please. I just want my baby home. That's it. Thanks for everybody looking for her. I appreciate everybody looking for her.
So keep in mind of what she just said. She just said, I appreciate everybody that is out looking for her missing daughter. Just keep that in mind. Like, I'm trying to do this whole setup spoiler-free, but I think you guys already know where I'm going with this whole news story and commentary.
Right now, it's very hard because I don't know what's going on. I just want my baby home. That's it. That's all I want is my baby.
Did you just hear what this bitch just said? She just said, I don't know what's going on. I just want my baby back. Yeah, this bitch, see, I want to call her the see you next Tuesday word, but, you know, now that I'm monetized on YouTube and these, the audio podcast gets uploaded to my YouTube channel, I can't use those type of choice words anymore because I don't want to get demonetized or partially demonetized. But I'm about to play the actual news story after a week later, after this woman's, like, award-winning performance. I mean, if it wasn't that she's going to be sent to jail, she should become an actor because she sold it like nobody has ever sold anything before.
So this afternoon, police arrested her mother and added a charge to her boyfriend in connection to Nevaeh's death. Lanaya Cardwell and Philip Gardner were both charged today with second-degree murder. Gardner was previously charged with dumping the body and obstructing justice.
This reminds me actually so much of the Casey Anthony trial. The reason why everybody picked up on the Casey Anthony story was all the lies, all the mistruths that Casey Anthony told when it came to the disappearance of little Kaylee Anthony. And did you, like, think about this, guys? I wanted to play that audio for you first so you could hear how much she sold that whole thing. I mean, she is the textbook definition of a psychopath. To be able to kill your own child. And I'm not saying that she killed the child. If I'm being honest, I mean, when we were on Bubba's show, me and Manson used to talk about this all the time, that these single mothers that have kids, they meet a new man. The sex is just so good. They're in love again. Somebody is showing them attention. I am almost willing to bet the farm that the boyfriend ended up killing this kid and the mother helped cover it up. And for her to go on TV and shed the crocodile tears that she shedded, it makes me disgusted. Like, she seriously should be held accountable. Even if she didn't kill the kid, she needs to get the death penalty. If the boyfriend or whatever, what it come to find out, was the one that ended up killing her. because this is absolutely despicable.
Nevaeh was reported missing Friday, and her body was found Sunday in Hancock County, Mississippi. Our partners at WBRZ were there when Cardwell was being escorted from state police headquarters today. According to arrest documents, Nevaeh picked up Cardwell's contact lenses Friday morning while she was getting ready for work. That's when Cardwell punched Nevaeh, causing her to fall back and hit her head on a cabinet. Gardner told police Cardwell grabbed Nevaeh and took her into another room, and it sounded as if two adults were fighting in that room. He added the child had a bruise on her forehead when he left to take Cardwell to work. When he got back, Nevaeh laid on the couch. She refused to eat, and then she became unresponsive.
I'm not trying to get all philosophical on you, but, like, we don't even have to worry. Everybody talks about, oh, we got to worry about China. We got to worry about Russia. We got to worry about Iran. You know what? No, we got to worry about ourselves. I mean, because we're tearing ourselves from the inside out. The degradation of just everyday American society. Like, what type of person are you that you would help cover up or being implicated in the death of your own child? That is a part of you. That is half of you at the very least. And if it was a boyfriend, because, I mean, I still don't know the whole story on this, but for you to go on TV and thank everybody else for searching for your kid when you knew exactly what happened to her. You wasted everybody's time, and time is money. And how much did it affect those people, the ones that actually cared, that thought your kid was actually missing when you knew where the kid was the whole time? That's why I'm saying is that we ain't got to worry about all these other countries. We're eating ourselves in the United States from the inside out. And that is actually going to be the downfall of the only superpower that's on this earth right now. That's exactly what is going
to
happen.
He tried to revive her using CPR, but was unsuccessful. An autopsy said Nevaeh had multiple bruises on her face and her head, along with swelling to her brain. The coroner also noted marks on her face resembled handprints. Injuries to her stomach were consistent with being punched in the stomach.
I know everybody likes to, oh, we got to go for the death penalty. We got to kill this guy. You know, the death penalty, I know that a lot of people, look, I've never lost a loved one to violence. So I really, really can't say how I would feel. But this guy and this woman, if they go to prison, death is too easy for them. It is. If I'm just being honest, death is too easy for them. I want them to go to prison because guess what? When everybody finds out what they did, yeah, it's going to be absolutely torture. It's going to be hell on earth for them. Because like I've always said, do you remember before you were born? No. Are you going to remember after you're dead? No. So then why let them off easy? Put them in general population with all the other inmates and let them deal with it. Because everybody thinks that the people that are in jail are scumbags, which, I mean, they've done crimes. They're doing their time. But there is a hierarchy. I've talked about this plenty of times. Abuse towards women, rapists, pedophiles, child murderers, especially moms and boyfriends that get on TV and shed crocodile tears, like I said before, thanking everybody for taking their time to try to find this missing girl, and they knew what was going on the whole entire time. Because if you remember, Casey Anthony kind of pulled a little bit of the same thing. She said that Well, Zanny the Nanny. Zenaida Gonzalez, that poor woman, got dragged into everything. And it was all made up. It was all made up. So that's why I'm saying the death penalty is just an easy way out for these two. Like I said, pit them in general population and let it all play out. Because all the other inmates, they're not going to appreciate what these two did.
The coroner said her death was a homicide, but the cause of death was still being investigated.
Before I get into my next topic, I want to mention and thank my newest sponsor, Ian Hanna. Ian Hanna is a realtor, and he actually serves the Brevard, Volusia, Flagler area, that little East Coast part, that little tri-county area. And if you are looking to buy or sell a home, or you know somebody that is also looking to buy or sell a home, tell them to go to IanHannaHomes.com. I first met Ian. Ian is an amazing drone aerial photographer, and he does some of the best virtual reality tours when it comes to selling your home when it's on the market. Or if you're wanting to check out a house you maybe want to buy. I know that I mention this a lot, but here in the state of Florida, having a great roof is a plus and a must-have with all the hurricanes we've had. And Ian does a lot of some of the best drone footage you're going to see. Plus, he's going to give you an inside look of the home that you might be interested in buying. So if you could do me a favor, like I said, if you're looking to buy or sell a home or you know somebody is, tell them to go to IanHannaHomes.com. And if you do, tell them that you heard it on the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I hate getting into politics and stuff, but I do like calling people out on hypocrisy. You know, for the most part, I don't understand why in this country wearing a mask or getting a vaccine has become a political statement. But for the most part, the conservatives, the right wing, they're all like, oh, I'm not wearing a mask. I ain't getting no vaccine. But guess what? You know what they want to do? Because when we ask them to do something, and they want to use the defense of, it's my body, it's my right. I can do or say whatever I want to do. I might offend people with the stereotypical redneck accent. But if you guys are going to argue and bitch about wearing a mask, especially in a private business, I love it when these right-wingers, conservatives, Republicans get all pissed off because a private business wants you to wear a mask, guess what? It's a private business. If they want you to wear a mask, wear a mask. They have the right to tell you to pound sand and get the hell out of there. But where the hypocrisy comes in is that this whole Texas abortion ban, and it's pretty strict. And this is also why it was so dangerous that Donald Trump was able to get 3 Supreme Court justices in before the end of his term. And see, this is why I don't like talking about politics. I don't want any of you guys to think that I'm on either side. Hell, earlier in today's show, I played audio from Talladega, which that race got postponed. I don't understand how one of the most famous racetracks on the circuit does not have lights. Plus, I know why they stopped it, because they didn't want the race running into Tom Brady making his return to Foxborough, Gillette Stadium, to play his old team. But it weirds me out, because Like I said, I played that audio of the people saying F Biden, F Biden from Talladega. So you cannot pigeonhole me into supporting either side or saying I'm biased. I pretty much hate every single politician out there. They don't give a damn about us. But where the hypocrisy comes in is that when we ask you to wear a mask or maybe think about getting vaccinated, oh, you guys are up in arms about us telling you what to do with your body. But now all the red states, look out, Floridians, it's coming. The abortion ban is coming. And if I'm just being honest, we need more abortions.
Thousands descended on the nation's capital for a rally on abortion justice. In the crowd, 9-year-old Alexis Brennan.
Why did you want to come?
Because I feel it's important that women have...
All right, so I think it is important to teach our children about the right to protest and assemble and use your freedom of speech. But come on, in my opinion, I think it's bad parenting to bring your 9-year-old kid out there in front of this. I mean, well, for one thing, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Number two, you never know if anything's ever going to become violent. Yeah, I mean, you just don't know. As a parent, you got to be smart about these things and weigh the risk versus the reward. Like, you could have easily went to this whole thing without your 9-year-old daughter and filmed some of it and showed it to her and then discussed it to her. Who knows, like, if it would have become unruly and then people are, you know, starting to get tear gas or pepper sprayed or whatever it may be. It's just not a place for a 9-year-old girl. I'm not saying that it's not right to teach your young children about it, but come on. You just got to be smarter, people.
Right?
At the Supreme Court, riot police stood between protesters for and against abortion rights.
The restrictions that are being forced on women and are being discussed right now are unconscionable.
If we're really marching for women's rights, we shouldn't exclude the preborn from that.
The face-off followed a day of demonstrations.
Abortion! Anytime! Any reason!
Okay, I mean... Listen, I really don't like some of those catchy, like, phrases, but abortion, anytime, any place, I think that's what they said. I'm all for that. You know how many kids that are born to just parents? Matter of fact, if I'm just being honest, if you need a license to own a gun, I really do think that it's getting to a point where you might need a license to be able to have a kid, because a lot of these parents, they think that they want to have a kid and then they just don't pay enough attention to them and then they become little assholes and they get neglected or they end up dead, like the last story that I ended up playing. Like, what would have been better for that mother that was in front of the TV cameras crying? What would have been better for that kid? Being aborted or being alive and then being killed. I'm not trying to be a shock jock or anything like that. I'm just being honest. Like, there are so many kids that are going hungry and having to suffer every single day. That's why I bring up, like, if you need a permit to own a gun here in the United States, or you don't need a permit to own a gun, but you need a permit to conceal carry, then you should have to have a permit to be able to have a kid, to be able to learn how to raise them and just be an adult to set them on the right path.
That began near the White House.
Abortion is health care.
Nancy Travers says she had one in her 20s and supports a woman's right to choose.
But how hard of a decision was that for you?
I never considered raising the child myself because I just couldn't.
See, and the thing is, I know a lot of people probably think what that woman just said is callous, but is it really? I mean, think about this. I brought that up earlier. Do you remember before you were born? No, you don't. And you're not going to remember after you're dead. So what is better? Not remembering everything or anything? Or living a life of suffering or abuse as a kid? You know, this abortion law, like after 6 weeks, and, you know, most women don't even know that they're even pregnant before 6 weeks. So they're basically banning abortion altogether. Oh, by the way, in Texas, even if you've been raped or it's a case of incest, you still cannot have an abortion. I mean, it's not the kid's fault at all, but you also got to understand, as a woman, which I'm not one, how do you think that woman's going to feel every time? It's not the kid's fault, but that kid is going to remind that woman every single day about the day that she was raped by some sexual predator.
Around 600 events were held around the country, from D.C. to Texas, to protest that state's new heartbeat law, which bans most abortions at approximately 6 weeks. And to take a stand ahead of a critical case before the high court this fall involving a similar ban in Mississippi.
We're actually reaching a time and place where this is going to become a reality, that abortion will be illegal.
And if I'm just being honest, it's going to be overturned. Abortion is going to be illegal in the United States because of the Supreme Court. And I don't know how I feel about Supreme Court justices being appointed for life. I know why they do it, because, you know, like you don't want a judge to make a decision on a law just based on if they're worried if they're going to be reelected or not. But man, what the F? They really did rush that last Amy Cohen Barrett, or whatever her name is, right after Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. They really rushed that one, didn't they? You know, when Obama wanted to get that Supreme Court person in, guess what? They held that one up like nobody else has ever held up anything before. They held it up like a robbery at a liquor store.
The court will hear that Mississippi case in December, and it will be watched very closely by both sides, given the implications it could have on Roe versus Wade. Jamie?
All right, guys. I know today's show was a little bit serious. I'm going to get in to some more comedic type stuff. Yeah, I'm just trying to get ahead on some of the content that I'm doing. And I really do think stuff like this is important. I'm not taking either side. Look, if you're a listener or a supporter of mine and you're against abortion, I don't look down on you. I don't judge you. I mean, that's the thing about this country. You are free to believe in whatever you want to believe in. I just believe in that it's a woman's right to choose. And I also brought up the hypocrisy of the people that are wanting to ban abortion because they're wanting to tell other people what they can or can't do with their body. But they're also going to get pissed because we want you to get vaccinated or start wearing masks and stuff. Yeah, I mean, that is the straight definition of hypocrisy. All right, guys, hope you guys had a great Monday. Hope you guys are having a great day. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover services brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.